Good morning. If you would get your book. As we read together, March 1st. I know yesterday was March 28th. Then they have one that says February 28th. And then there's another one that says February 29th. You can skip it or you can read it. Whatever you want. That's for the leap year, okay? So we're on March 1st today. If you would turn to page 132, I just want to make a comment. On the fifth line, it says the word optimistic, okay? That means hope, okay? That means hope. So when we get to that, we'll say hope, okay? So just to make sure we know where we're at, okay? You ready? It says, move in me. In the scripture, John 14:26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. This is the book part. It says, one of the most magnificent results of Christ's death on Calvary is the entrance of the Holy Spirit into everyone who was born again. Men have always been saved by faith, but the benefits of their salvation did not always include the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling Spirit of God will do whatever it takes to form each believer into the image of Christ. The Spirit of God is always on the move, never stopping, never faltering, always looking for a way to gain more access into the deep secret places of the heart. He is relentless yet gentle. He is all-powerful yet never abusive. He brings life to the believer and supplies conviction to the sinner. He is a light to those in darkness and brings hope, expectation to the desperate. I am distressed without his presence, desirous of his touch, dying without his aid, and determined to apprehend his favor. As one day ends and each new day dawns, are you hungry for him? Do you know how greatly he longs to be given permission to address the deepest recesses of our souls? As for me, dear Lord, help my cry to be, move in me, mighty Spirit, move in me. Give him permission to move in your heart and life. Let him go to the deep recesses of your heart. There's no other place you want to be. Let him move in and heal and do and be those areas that we've shielded from the Lord and everyone else. Open it up and say, Lord, I'm open to you. And as we just read, he's gentle and kind and will help us in all of our darkest times and even in the recesses of our hearts where we have let no one else go in. Let him step in. And I tell you what, he will heal your heart and life like you've never seen before. Amen. You might want to go home and read it again, letting the Spirit of God move in that area. Amen. If you would take your Bibles as we make our declaration before him, say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit, in Jesus' name. If you would stretch forth your hands towards me as I pray for myself this morning, Father, Lord, I just lay my life before you, Lord. And Lord God, I would pray that you would help me to preach and teach, that those things that you've called me to do will be evident in my heart and life this morning. Father, help me to preach and teach under the unction and power of the Holy Ghost, Lord God, that your will be done in me and through me. And Lord, help us all to receive your word this morning. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you, the Spirit of the Lord was so strong this morning. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God in this place, people, surrender and let him move. You know, I was reminded of this story a few days ago or so. You know, China was wasn't always a communist country. I mean, all of my life, they have been a communist country. It wasn't until October 1st of 1949 that they became a communist country. We have been a country, America. We're going to be celebrating 250 years. China's only been a communist country for 76 years. That's all. We think of, it's always been like that. Not so. Not like Iran. I didn't know that about Iran. My Lord, that they were a, not a communist, or if you want to say, what are they now? Islamic, yeah, that says it all right there. But God can move and change. Before they became a communist country, talking about China just a little bit, there was a businessman in America, you know, that they were trying to start churches and help churches flourish throughout the world. That's called missions, to go and give money, and they go and start churches, and they start Christian churches, and they rise up and help the people to come to Christ. Well, this businessman had given lots of money to certain organizations to go into China before they became a communist country and to have these churches rise up to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout that area. Well, one day he gets up and he says, you know, as a businessman, very wealthy, I want to go see what my money's doing. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, nothing wrong with that. And so, you know, he calls up one of the pastors that he knows in China, and they get together, and he comes over to just look at what's going on. That's all he wants, just look, you know, and maybe be in a few services and see what's going on. So the Chinese pastor meets the American pastor or businessman at the airport and takes him in his car, and they're driving down the road. And as they're driving down the road, this businessman he's looking out the window, just kind of looking at things that are going on. You know, it's a land that he's never been to, you know. So he looks out and he sees something unusual. And he turns and he looks down, and the pastor sees what he's seeing. And he says, "You're seeing what you're seeing." And he said, "But I need to tell you a story about what you've just seen." He said, "Oh." He said, "We were building churches, the money you were giving. And that farmer had a plow and an oxen. And he had no money to give to the building of the new churches. So you know what he did? He took his oxen off of the plow. He went into town and sold his oxen, yokes of oxen. And he took that money and he went to the pastor and he gave that money to them." And the businessman says, "What? He gave out of his own need. But listen to this." He looked out that same picture of seeing that plow with the farmer, which is the father, holding on to that plow. And you know who was pulling the plow? Was the Father's Son. It wasn't another oxen at that time, but it was the Father's Son pulling that plow to plow that field. He gave out of his need. We often give out of our abundance, huh? And the businessman turns to the pastor and says, how consecrated that man is compared to what I have given, which is a whole lot more money than what he could give the farmer. But he gave out of his need. That hurt. My Lord. People, the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, relies upon us. Jesus paid the price, but it relies on us giving the money that is needed to export the Bibles, the preaching of the gospel. Iran's going to become open. Look, I'm telling you, I know what's going to happen. You're going to have Jehovah Witnesses. You're going to have all these things that are not good trying to go in. And we got to get the gospel of Jesus Christ into that land. It's an open door to us. My Lord, somehow, Lord God, open it up. I'm not saying we have to go, but we can support it somehow, some way. Getting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you this. When we pass away, and I know that might be like a who, we can't take any money with us. We can't take our antique furniture. And we sure can't take our vehicles. And I'm not, hey, look, there's nothing wrong with having things. You know, But people, the gospel of Jesus Christ has to go forth. And it does take money, you know. So look at it from the point of view of the Father giving, or look at it from the point of view of the businessman giving. They were both obedient. And that's what God looks at. Now, the businessman thought of him a little lower. But does God? Not really. Because he gave out of his heart too. But he saw something that was like, oh my Lord. Giving out of his need to sell the thing that would provide for his family and make him money. And now his son has to pull that plow to get what they need in that family. My Lord, what a God we serve. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10, page 482. Good to see everybody. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with other believers. It's good to sense and feel the presence of the Lord. I know probably everybody, you've had some high times this week and some low times this week. But that's okay. That's okay. You keep looking and keep looking at Jesus and saying, Lord, I'll do whatever it takes to follow you because he is our God, no matter what. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, it says, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, it is not because the Lord has anointed you to be captain over his inheritance. Now, here we see Samuel. Samuel was the prophet of that day. Now, I'm going to put it chronologically, kind of put it in this scenario. Samuel, now remember, he was a man of flesh, okay? He was a prophet, but he was like the Holy Spirit, if you want to say it that way, in that old time way, okay? And because Samuel was a prophet, he would go around and he was a spokesman. He would deliver messages. He would give warnings and teachings to God's people. And so now, like Andrew said, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We still have prophets, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's the fivefold ministry of the church. They're still around, you know. But back then, you know, he would go and he would give a message. Thus saith the Lord. This is what was being done. And he anointed Saul. He anointed Saul to be the king. Took the vial, poured it over his head. He was anointed king over that area, over Israel. Saul, when he was anointed king, most believe he was around 30 years of age. Some think a little younger, some think maybe a little older, but the average of about 30 years of age. And he was king for 40 years. About 40 years. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, look at verse 11. You might say, what does this all have to do? I'm trying to just lay the groundwork, people. God is the one that chooses, and God is the one that anoints. God chooses. The people looked at Saul and they saw he was head and shoulders above the... He was tall. He was a muscular guy. He looked like a king. That's what they saw. God allowed them to have him as king. But I want you to know this. God looks at the hearts of men and women, not so much the outward appearance. God doesn't look at the color of your skin and say, well, if they're this color or that color, I'll call them. He doesn't look and say, well, if they're a male or a female, I'll call them. See, God doesn't look at that. God looks at the heart of a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, and he calls and he chooses what he wants to do. If it's to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're to do it. If they're called in the ministry of whatever it is, they're to do it. Because they've been called by God. And when you're called by God, God anoints those he calls to do the job that needs to be done. And we are called by God, but we have to stay humble. We have to stay at the feet of Jesus. We got to let God do what needs to happen. It says this. Look at verse 11 of 15 Samuel. And it says, it repents me, God is saying this, that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Turn to 15:23, latter part of that chapter. It says, for rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. My Lord. So here we see God let them have their king. God rejects him as their king. And I was looking at the chapters. It's only about five chapters that he was king. I mean, I know chapters, you know. But, you know, it seems like that's a 40-year period of time. Five chapters is not much. But Saul became the man that had an evil heart instead of following God, of unbelief. Saul was rebellious. He was stubborn. He was disobedient. We have to always remember what God calls us to do, that we can not have a heart of unbelief. You can have a heart of not understanding, but we should always believe our God. We should never have a heart of rebellion, that we rebel. When God says that, we rebel and say, well, I know what's best. No, you can't have that. You can't have a heart of being stubborn or disobedient. Many a times God told Saul as king to go and do something. And Samuel would come and he would minister to Saul like the Holy Spirit would do. He would minister to him and he would help them and he would say things. Thus saith the Lord, this is how you do it. One time he told him to go into the Amalekites and utterly destroy every one of them. Destroy every animal they have. You know what Saul decided to do? To keep the best. The best of the animals. Because and then he tried to play it religiously. Well, I'll take these animals that are good and I'll sacrifice them to God. Man always messes things up. We always think we have a brighter idea that we can do it even better. That's like Cain and Abel. Cain what? Killed Abel. God told them how they had to sacrifice. Abel did what was right. He took a lamb, perfect before God, sacrificed it before him. The blood that was there that depicted what Jesus would do. But Cain comes in and said, I'm a give of what I have, the vegetables. I know what God doesn't know. No, God knows it all. And what he says in his word, that is what we do. If he is for something, we are for it as a church. If he is against something, we are against it as a church. As your pastor, as you as a believer, we stand upon the word of God and let that be the criteria for the things that we believe and the things that we stand for. He also, my Lord, Saul did not obey God concerning the Philistines also. I mean, he would do what he wanted to do. And it came down to the place. Look at 1 Samuel 15:35. And Samuel came no more to see Saul. You know what that means? The Holy Spirit wasn't with Saul anymore. How many men and women, and I'll just stop and make in the pulpit today, that the Holy Spirit is not with them? I'm telling you. Then you want to know why the church is the way it is? Because you have men and women in that pulpit that don't know God, that has not spent time with God, my Lord, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is not upon their life because they have been disobedient and has done evil in the sight of the Lord. And hey, look, whoever's perfect cast the first stone. No one's perfect. But I tell you what, we have a God where we can bend our knee and say, Lord, forgive me as I keep my faith and my trust in you, Lord God, that your anointing and your power will set upon me. You see, God is looking at your heart this morning. What's in your heart this morning? What's going on in your life? Do you have hatred towards somebody? I'm not saying talking about dislike, because there's some people you kind of dislike. You know, you dislike their ways or what they do, what they represent, you know, whatever. But God, we're not supposed to have hate towards people. Lying, cheating, stealing, all that stuff. We are Christians, Christ-like. Let God do what needs to be. And you might say, well, there's some areas where God, well, hey, that God needs to work. Well, welcome to the club. We need God to work in our hearts. If we could do it alone, Jesus didn't have to die for us. We need him. We need him to work in us. We need the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us and be with us. We need the direction of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Oh. Samuel would not come to Saul anymore. Look, we need God to comfort us and be with us. We need God to move upon us. We need to seek God with everything within us. I mean, we have troops that are going at war. I wonder how many churches prayed for them this morning. Or how many individuals in America prayed for our president. As Christians, we need the intervention of God Almighty in every aspect of our government and every aspect of our lives. I'm not saying you have to bend down your knee and call upon God. You can sit in your lazy boy. You can ride in your car, you know, and call upon God, asking God to move, and he will do what needs to happen. But Samuel, nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. That means he cried, because it talks about crying. He cried all night. I mean, you know, for long periods of time. And the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Look at verse 1 of chapter 16. You know, when the Lord has enough, he has enough. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? See, it hurt the heart of Samuel. He was the prophet. He put everything he had into Saul. And Saul disobeyed God, and he disobeyed Samuel. And it hurt him to the core of his being. And look at the latter part. Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill your horn with oil. There's a turnaround coming. And go. And I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Oh, my Lord. You know, sometimes we go from valley to valley, from hilltop to hilltop in our Christian lives. That's just what it says. We have the high times of our lives where everything is going great and good and kind, and we love it. But also we have the valley times too. And in that valley, you can feel and sense the presence of the Lord, because that's when our hearts get tender as a Christian, hopefully. That we call upon him more than ever before. And here Samuel had hit an all-time low because of Saul. And God rejected him. How much disobedience, how much stubbornness did Saul have for God to finally come to the place that he rejects the king? And he would not allow Samuel to go to Saul at any other time to give him advice or help or thus saith the Lord. You know why? Because God wasn't speaking to Samuel anymore about Saul. He had enough, and it was done with. And God is a patient God. My Lord. He said, Samuel, get up, basically. Quit your mourning and crying. Look, we may have to go through some valleys, but God is saying, the hilltop's coming again, people. Quit crying sometimes a little bit. I'm not saying, you know, the physical, but, you know, we cry, our hearts hurt. Because God is about to do something unexpectedly in your life and in my life. And he says this, he said, fill your horn, Samuel. That was faith. Samuel had to do it. There was no like, well, Samuel, if you want to, if you would like to, maybe so. He said, Samuel, get up and quit crying. It's lost. It's gone. You know, sometimes friendships from the past that you had to let go, let them go. Things of the past, let it go. Let it go, let it go, let it go. And don't remember it no more. Let those things go. God wants to do something new in your heart and life. Fill your horn with oil. That was horns they had. They would fill them with oil because he would take it and he would go to anoint a new king. God was giving Samuel a new vision. God wants to give you a new vision. my Lord. So you get up and don't stay down and say, Lord, show me. It might mean new direction too. But you see, we gotta go where the Spirit of God says go, because we want the Spirit of God to speak to us. We want to hear. We don't want the Holy Ghost to stop speaking to us. We need God. Fill your horn with oil. Get over those things that need to be getting over with. Let those things go from the past that don't help you in any way. Let them go. And you might say, it's easier said than done. Yes, it is. But I tell you what, it wasn't easy for Samuel either, because he invested all of his time into Saul. And yet he still, Saul was a failure. Failure to God, failure to Samuel, failure to Israel. But you see, every time there's a failure in your life, let me tell you this, God is about to start a new thing in your heart and in your life. Fill your horn with oil. And he said, Samuel, go. And I want you to go to Jesse, the family of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. One of his sons I have chosen. He didn't say, Samuel, go look around Israel. You know, when pastors, a lot of these churches, all over the place, they're looking for pastors. They go and they spy on them at their old churches, and they look, they hear their messages, and they call them to come and preach at their churches, and then they vote on it. Who God wants there is who God wants there. It's not what you and I decide or vote on. We don't vote at this church. I mean, I'll be honest with you, we don't vote. You know, I just don't like that, you know. But we stay humble before the Lord, asking God to move. We talk about things, but we don't vote, because he brings heartache. One wants this, one wants that, then they fight over each other, wanting whatever. Oh, Lord, oh, no. No, no way. So Samuel had to obey the Lord. And he went. Now Samuel, a prophet, the prophet of Israel, got scared and said, if Saul hears about this, he's going to kill me. This is the prophet of God. If God told him to go, you think Saul could kill him? No. And so God says, okay, just get a heifer. And I want you to go to that land of where Jesse's family is. And tell that city you there to sacrifice unto the Lord, which he did. You might say, well, wasn't that a lie? No, he took it, like the Lord says, the heifer, and he went. So Saul knew nothing. And he got to that land, and he talked to the father, Jesse, and he said, make sure you sanctify yourselves, all you and your children, all your sons. And that next day or so, Here's Jesse, the father, and here's Samuel. And one by one, the sons come in. The first one, Eliab, I think it was, came in, tall, broad shoulders, like Saul. Don't be moved by this. Be moved by the Holy Spirit. Be moved by the Spirit of God on the inside. Listen to that still small voice of the Holy Ghost. Don't get on the wrong path, because it could destroy your life. But here we see the first one comes around. And man, I know Samuel thought, this is him. And God says, nope. The next one comes around. Nope. All of them came. No, 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 no. How do you think Samuel felt when there was no one else there and they all came around? He said, did I miss it? See, we think that way sometimes. But he heard, And he turned to Jesse and he said, okay, now, do you have another son? Oh, yeah, we got one. He's over there tending the sheep. And okay, go get him. I mean, Samuel was like, get him. Look at the verses. Verse 12, starting there. It says, and he sent and brought him in, talking about David. Now he was ruddy, that means red hair, and withal of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. They said this guy, David, was about 15 years of age. Then Samuel took the horn of oil that God told him to fill and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And this is the most important thing. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. It was he was anointed king by Samuel, but it was many years later that he finally took the throne after Saul died. Look, don't look at the outside of things. Look at the heart. That's what God looks at. You're probably thinking, I don't have the ability to do that. Oh, I can't accomplish that. Well, probably you are correct. You and I can't accomplish that. But when God calls, he anoints, he appoints, and he helps get the job done. That's what he wants. If we could do it on our own, we don't need God. But we can't. Can you imagine what Samuel thought when this little 15-year-old boy, red-headed boy, comes in? They said he was very handsome, though. Comes and stands in front of him, and I'm thinking in his... I wonder if Saul was thinking, this is it. This is it. Sure, Lord, you sure? Maybe I need to go pray a little bit more here. And the Spirit of God said, that's him. See, God saw that young boy, that teenage boy, as he was... with the sheep, tending the sheep. God saw his heart. So you see, wherever you are in life, keep your heart pure before him. Keep your heart tender before him. Because that's what God looks at. And you never know. Your appointment of whatever it is could come that day. Whatever God chooses that he wants to do, it could happen that day. I mean, I know David must have heard that all his brothers were going over there. How do you think he felt? Knowing he was left out. You've been left out of the barbecues? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just keep loving the Lord and keep loving the family. You're left out of something? Don't worry about those things. I know it hurts. But you say, Lord, heal my heart and let me go forward to show my Christianity. And David came in and he left anointed by the Spirit of God. And he left with the Holy Spirit on his life. My Lord. Oh, my Lord, makes you want to shout. See, let God. Let go and let God do what he wants to do in your heart. And in your life. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about last week. Many of you are probably saying, let's put it down under. Stomp on a little bit and let it go. Don't worry about that stuff. Let it go. And you keep on going forward and letting God do what needs to be done. Because he's planning in you a success story. Oh, my Lord. A success story for you. Success story for you, my Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. You may stand, please.